Go ye also into my vineyard. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The word Septuagesima means 70th. Today it is about 70 days until Easter Sunday. We begin the Easter cycle with a preparation time. These three Sundays of Septuagesima tide that separate us from Ash Wednesday are meant to be our planning time. And I had planned myself to introduce the Lenten series of sermons, again this year for the Holy Ghost, this year on his seven gifts, with an explanation of the first of the theological virtues, which the Holy Ghost pours into our soul with baptism and sanctifying grace. However, man plans, but Almighty God disposes. So I've decided to save that sermon for another day. But on this Sunday, which is meant to recall to the church the exile of the chosen people in the Old Testament, the 70 years chastisement they passed by the waters of Babylon, I thought I would look at the Mass with you, because it is a beautiful Mass and perfect for our circumstances. It was composed by Pope St. Gregory the Great just before the year 600, at a terrible time in the history of the Roman Church. There were awful wars racking the West, invasions still of the barbarians, troubles with the Eastern Empire and Emperor. There were pestilences and earthquakes and famine, too. A lot of people suffered very, very much. And thus, inspired by the grief all about him, he composed today's Mass. Cicum dederunt me, it begins. And there's a wonderful rolling cadence to the introit, which our men sang so well at the beginning of Mass. The sorrows, literally the groans of death, surrounded me. Now, this is a sentiment with which most of us could, on a Sunday like this, easily identify. That is to say that it's been a hard winter, and it might become harder if indeed there is a war. And a couple of weeks ago I told you about that earthquake that they had down in Mexico, and how those people must have suffered who died or lost their homes and possessions in that. That's the spirit then of the introit of today's Mass. When we face current evils and the anxiety engendered by future fears, because if there is a war, who knows where it will go and what it will end up with, and we know what they're up to in any case. Our response has to be, what? Our response is not the response of modern man, barely worthy of the name. That is to say that I have to complain. I have to seek somebody to blame. I file a lawsuit. I go on a TV talk show. I file a class action suit against somebody. No. All that thou hast done to us, thou hast done in true judgment, O Lord. Those are the words of Daniel the prophet. And they inspire the prayer that St. Gregory composes for today's Mass, so that after the introit we read, that we who are justly afflicted for our sins, may we mercifully be delivered by thy goodness, for the glory of thy name. We don't say, I don't deserve it. We say, I do deserve it. But for the glory of thy name, be merciful to me. Remember, mercy is a response of goodness to misery. That is the true Catholic approach to all of the evils that surround us. In the epistle now, and today's gospel, move us from a consideration of natural disasters, which are bad enough, to disaster on the spiritual level. And the Holy Ghost is saying to us in this choice of text, don't be a smarty. Don't think that just because you have the Catholic faith and most people have lost it, and you've kept the true Mass and most have gone aside after the worship of idols today, don't think that that's going to do it for you, because it's not. That's not enough. Something else is required for you if you're going to save your soul. Look, St. Paul says, look at the chosen people of the Old Testament. Look how they were all baptized unto Moses. and how they had the manna from heaven and water from a rock. They saw constant miracles. And yet, in spite of these miracles, God was not well pleased with most of them. It is the same message that today's gospel delivers from the lips of our Savior himself about the call at the 11th hour of us, the Gentiles. It is, as are so many of the gospels throughout the year, particularly during the Lenten season, it is remarkably anti-Jewish in tone, what the Jews today in their propaganda machinery would call anti-Semitic. And it is, that is perfectly true. Reading today's gospel, you get some idea of what our Lord thought of his own people and how it broke his heart. And if you consider, if they were that way when our Lord was there, what became of them after they crucified him, incurred the sin of deicide, calling down his blood on themselves and their children, and gave themselves over fully and freely to the superstitions of the rabbis who ignored the Bible and wrote the Talmud instead. No wonder, because of gospels like this, no wonder the Jews will not stop until they have removed the gospels from us. You know that at Vatican II, it was the work of the Jews to have the last gospel removed from the end of the Mass, because he came unto his own, and his own received him not. The words of St. John convict them, and they can't bear to hear that. And then now in the Novus Ordo, the Jews have had a considerable influence on changing the services of Holy Week to remove such phrases as are deemed anti-Jewish or anti-Semitic. Finally, the Jews will not stop until the whole of the Gospels are entirely taken away from us Christians. But the burden of the Gospel is always this: look at the Jews and learn from them. Their dignity has passed to you. Now don't let their sins, the sin of pride and self-sufficiency, pass to you too. You Gentiles, you are the recipient of God's mercy. Don't become hard-hearted like the Jews of old or of today. It is a thought which should move each Christian heart, not with pride, but with a profound humility. So yes, then, today, perhaps in our own personal lives and families, certainly in the weather, perhaps in the economy, and maybe for the future, for with wars, there are difficulties, there are disasters. We are surrounded by the groanings of death. And yet, one greater than all of these looms, let us keep it in perspective today, it is the loss of my own immortal soul. This is the one thing that matters. And thus, the message in that beautiful hymn sung by the choir before Mass, "Come, labor on," the Latin of the Gospel, "Operamini," work ye. Get into the vineyard, the church, get into the vineyard, your own spiritual life, and work. I leave church today with that resolution in mind. Labor on. I will labor till the end, till God decides to give me rest. I will labor, and I will leave the idea of a reward, what I should get or what someone else might get. I leave that up to the master, to the householder. It is not for me to worry about those things. I'm going to mind my own business and look to my soul's salvation. And as I look to my soul's salvation, there is no better place for me to look than to our Lord crucified. When I see him carrying his cross, when I see Our Lady with her dead son in her lap, our mother of sorrows, and then I look back at my grief, it's not so bad. I think I'll be able to labor on and to get through it. I know I will, with their help. Because with one look to them, I always go away rewarded with a look of love. And in that love, there is tremendous strength to persevere and to labor on. I conclude by remembering the words of the author of today's Mass, Pope St. Gregory the Great, about the year 600, says, "If the labor terrifies, and sometimes indeed it does, the reward invites." God bless you and grant you perseverance. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.